1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Many of you know this verse, but the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we thank you for God just being so good to us. Lord, we thank you for the trials. We thank you for the victories. Lord, I pray that tonight, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray that today will be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that you would just that you would be exalted tonight. Lord, that your word would be proclaimed. Lord, that people will be hearers of your word and not doers on and be doers as well. Lord, we do ask that you would be exalted. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last night we had our midweek service, and we call it Pie and Testify. We had a wonderful service. And during the service, there was a lady that stood, and she gave testimony. She said, "I want to thank the Lord, first of all, for my salvation." Amen. And then she said, "I want to thank the Lord for the good things that he's given to me." But then what she said next really struck a chord in my heart. She said, "I want to thank the Lord for the trials that I've faced." And she proceeded to say that she wanted to thank the Lord for all the troubles and the trials that she has faced in her life. She told me, she told the church, she said, it started off, she lost her mother. Then her husband lost his mother. And then he lost his father. And then she lost her dad. And then they lost a son. And just some different things. In just a matter of a short period of time, she was saying about all the things that she had been through. And she says, "You know, I wouldn't pray for any of those things to happen, but I want to say tonight, I'm thankful for the trials." She said, "Had it not been for those things that had came in my life," she says, "I would not be able to experience the love of God like I have. The blessings that God has shown me through these trials." And you know what? That struck something in my heart. And that verse came into my mind, and I started to think about this tonight. I started thinking about, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." And I started thinking, do I give thanks in everything? Oh, I give thanks for the things, the good times and the victories and the things that that happen that are good, but do I give thanks for those things that are to mold me, to cut off those sharp edges in my life, that try to, so I could be conformed to the image of God? And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about that testimony that that lady shared with me and how she taught her pastor something last night. And I started thinking, well, I want to bring something tonight that nothing new, but I want to be a help to you tonight. Pastor Ross has been such a help to me, and I want to be a help to you tonight. And I started thinking about this. Faith and trust is the core of who and what we are. Would you agree? And it is imperative for salvation that we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that we put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary when he was arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Well, let me ask you, why do we trust God? Why do you trust God? How much do we trust God? Do we trust him in every situation or only in some? Can we trust him with our life? Can we trust him even if he took our life or the loved one in our life? You see, trust can be defined as a firm belief in another's honesty, ability, or integrity. Trust means that you believe that someone will come through with what they said they would do, no matter what happens. Trust means that doubt about that other person never even enters into your mind. You see, many people think today that they trust, they have a deep trust in God because they obey him. But that's not trust, that's obedience. And we can blindly obey God, but it's because it's the right thing to do, but we trust Him because who He is. We trust Him because what He has done and what He's going to do. You see, think about Peter for a moment. He thought that he thought and even said to the Lord that he trusted God, that he trusted Him, but he denied Christ, didn't he? You see, his trust wasn't based upon true belief, but his trust was based upon emotion or a situation. When we think about trust, my mind immediately goes to Job. I think about Job. And the Bible says this, through all that he went through, the Bible says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Job's trust is not based on a feeling tonight, but it's his trust was based on the fact that God is God. You see, I want us to think for a few moments about what do we know about Job? What do we know about him? Well, the Bible says there in Job 1 that he was a perfect man. He was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And I looked up those words, and the word perfect means that he was moral, that he was complete, that he had matured in the Lord. And that word upright means that he had integrity. And the word eschewed means that he avoided evil. He didn't want to have anything to do with evil, and he hated it even. And so what we know about Job is that he was a spiritually mature man that walked with the God daily. He walked with the Lord daily. And I want to give us some reasons why Job didn't trust God. Why Job didn't trust God. And before you turn me off, just listen to this, to the message, and then you can come to your own conclusion. Number one, he didn't trust God because of blessings. He didn't trust God because of blessings. We know the story. God asked Satan, he says, what are you doing? Now, let me say this real quickly. God knew exactly what Satan was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing, and God asked him that, and he wanted him to confess what he was doing. You see, Satan said he was going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen to me this evening. God, I want you to know this, that this wasn't only in Job's day, but Satan is doing the same thing today. He's going to and fro, and he wants to destroy your life. Listen to me. If he can't stop you from getting saved, he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy it. God asked Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? What an honor. Could God say that about you? Have you considered my servant Rick? I tell you. Satan says that Job, the only reason that Job loved him, the only reason that he served him, the only reason that he trusted him is because of the blessings in his life. And there in Job chapter 1, if you want to turn there, we'll be in there the remainder of the service. Job chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He says, hey, does he serve you and fear you and trust you for nothing? He says, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. What he was saying here is the only reason that Job trusts you, God, the only reason is because of the blessings that you've bestowed upon him. The only reason that he loves you is because you have blessed him with great riches. You see, look there in Job, God says there in verse 12, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, and only upon himself put forth, not forth thine hand. I love that verse. You know why? Because it proves to me that Satan still has to answer to God. Hey, listen to me, Satan isn't in control. God is still on the throne. That lady told me last night, she says, Pastor, she says, all these things that have happened in my life, one thing that I've realized is that God is still in control. He's still on the throne. And I said, I tell you, I was blessed last night from hearing that. I want to give you five reasons why, in Job's life, why he didn't trust God. Number one, he didn't trust God because of financial blessings. Listen to me there in verse 10, 11. Look there, it says, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Again, Satan says, "Hey, here, God, the only reason Job trusts you, the only reason that he's given thanks to you, the only reason that he loves you tonight is because you have blessed him financially." Job 1:14 there says, "And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." In one day, literally in one day, in a matter of just a few minutes, he lost the farm. He lost the farm. That this was his source of income. He lost his servants, his finances gone in a matter of minutes. Listen to me tonight. Don't put your trust in finances. Listen to me. It could all be taken away just like that. Especially in the economy that we're living in with the president we have too, but I'll move on. I know some people that lost thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the stock market. And they were bitter at God. Listen to me. It could all be taken away that fast. What are you putting your trust in? Are you praising God? Are you thankful tonight just because of financial blessings? Listen to me. What if it was all taken away? Is God still good? Is God still good? If you didn't have two pennies to rub together, would he still be good? God's still good. Job says here, the Bible goes on to say that in verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." He worshiped God. He said, "You know what? I don't praise God. I don't thank God. I don't trust God. I don't love God because of my financial blessings. I love God because who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do." You see, next he goes on. He says, I don't trust God. I don't love God because of marital blessings. Job and his loving wife had 10 wonderful children. There in verse 2 it says, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. They were all eating at the eldest brother's house. When the Bible says a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house and it fell upon the young men and they are dead." Job lost his most prized possession, his children. I know there's some in here that have lost their children. He loved his children. The Bible says this, that he prayed for his children. There in verse 5 it says, "Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." You should pray for your children every day. After Satan saw that Job was not going to curse God even though he took his financial blessings, Satan took his marital blessings. Satan wouldn't try. He wanted to try something else. And he went to God and said, "The only reason that Job trusts you is because of his health." Read on. As we read on, he says, "You know what? I don't trust God because of my marital blessings. God is still good." He says, I don't trust God because of my financial blessings. God is still good. He says, I don't trust God because of my physical blessings. Look there in Job chapter 2, verse 7. He says, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Let me ask you tonight, there's many that would stand up and say, I want to thank God for my financial blessings. He's been good financially to me. God has been good. Hey, and praise God for those blessings. But what if he took them all away? Is he still good? What about, hey, there'd be many that would say, and I would be the first one to say, I want to thank God for my children. But what if he took them? Is he still good? What if he takes your health? Is he still good tonight? You see, I don't know about you, but I've had a boil, and that thing hurts. The Bible says that he was covered with them. He was covered with them. You know something? You can look around you, and you can always see someone that's a little worse off than you. Yesterday, I was at Riley Hospital visiting a friend of mine. His daughter was having surgery, and I saw some of those children. And my heart broke, and I just started thanking God for the blessings in my life. I started thanking God for healthy children. I started thanking God for just how good he is to me. But listen, if he took my health, my children, my wealth, would I still praise him tonight? Would I still say, God is good? That's where the rubber meets the road. Do we truly trust him? Do we truly love him? See, we don't trust God because we're healthy. Again, I know people that are bitter today at God because they've got cancer, or because they've had some sickness in their life, or because God took someone out of their life. Listen to me, God's still good. The Bible says this, after all that was happening to Job, he says this in verse 10, chapter 2. But he said unto her, after his wife said, won't you just curse God and die? He says this, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Wow. Then he goes on and says, you know, I don't love God. I don't trust God because of social blessings. We know the story. Job had some friends, right? And they came along and sat with him, and they sat with him and mourned with him. And for 7 days, they didn't say a word. That's good friends. But then the silence broke. And after the silence broke, the friends started accusing him of not being right with God and all these things that are wrong in his life. You see, we don't trust God. We don't love God. We're just because we have all kinds of friends and social benefits. We trust God. We love him for who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do in our lives. Then it goes on to say he didn't trust God because of emotional blessings. I've heard people say this, yeah, but Job said this, I wish I cursed the day that I ever was born. You think about this for a moment. He lost everything he had. Would you not feel the same way? Sure, you'd be discouraged. You'd be downhearted. But the Bible says this, after all these things, I love this in chapter 13, verse 15. I love this verse. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job was saying it didn't matter what happened to him. It didn't matter if God took his life. It didn't matter if he took his finances. It didn't matter if he took his children. He was going to love God and trust him through it all. Let me ask you, God takes those finances away. God takes your family away. You're left here with nothing. Let me ask you tonight, is he still good? He's still good. Why? Because he's still God. He still knows what's going on in our lives. How many people have you known that have said something like this? have said, I've asked God for something, and He didn't give it to me. Therefore, I can't trust God. I've heard it. The Apostle Paul, who had a very legitimate reason, a request of God, he asked God 3 times to take the thorn of the flesh out. He asked God to heal him, and God said, no, what'd he say? My grace is sufficient for thee. Can I tell you, no matter what you're going through tonight, whether you've lost a loved one, whether you've lost your finances, it doesn't matter. God's grace is still sufficient. God is still sufficient. Number two, do trust God because you believe. We must believe everything that He has said that He will do. Amen. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Lo, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen to me, God's coming back. We can trust His precious promises that He has given to us. You see, we have seen prophecy fulfilled exactly as God said that it would. We know that His word is trustworthy. We can count on everything He said would happen. We say, oh, but Brother Rick, do you see what's happening over in Israel? Do you see who's in the White House? It doesn't matter. God's still on the throne. And God's still in control. And His grace is still sufficient for thee. You see, we can trust God. How do we know that we can trust God? Because everything He said He would do, He's going to do. God said that His presence would be with the saved. He would never leave us nor forsake us. One of my favorite stories, I've heard it ever since I was a child, was about the 3 Hebrew boys. You know, they were cast into that fiery furnace, Pastor Ross. And the Bible says, King says, hey, didn't we throw 3 men? And I'm paraphrasing, if you give me a little liberty. He says, yeah, we threw 3 men in there. He says, but I see 4, and the 4th is as a son of man. Can I tell you this? That no matter what fiery trial you're going through tonight, no matter what, God is still good, and He's still there. He's still there. He's going through that with you. Then the last thing tonight, developing a trust. How do we get to the place where Job was, where he said, though he slay me, no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to trust him. I believe it's because of the relationship with God. Job had a relationship that was 24/7. Listen to me, it wasn't something that he put on Sunday and Wednesday night. It was something that it was real in his life. It was 24/7. He had a real relationship and fellowship with God. The Bible says in James 4:8, it says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Listen to me, we need to develop a trust and a true relationship and fellowship with God. During the difficult times, listen to me, don't pull away from Him. God's trying to do something in your life. God's trying to mold you. We claim that verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together. We claim that verse. And we need to realize, listen to me, that means during the hard times, during the valleys, that means God is still good and He's trying to conform us into the image of His Son. Those hard times, listen to me, are for you to draw you closer. I started thinking about what that lady said last night. Lady in my church, she said, God, I want to thank God for the trials in my life. Had it not been for those trials, I would not be able to have the relationship, have the understanding of God that I have today. You see, God doesn't want to be a stranger to any of us. His desire for us is to have a personal fellowship and relationship with Him. The more we know God, the more we will find His will. Listen to me, I heard the testimony of these young men getting ready to graduate from college. I was there. Didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do. But the more I got in His Word, the more that I sought godly counsel, the more God made it clear in my life. You see, not only the relationship with God, but also the friendship with God. Can I tell you something tonight? He's my friend. He's my God, but he's also my friend. He loves me. I can talk to him. You know what? I know Pastor Ross well enough that he wants to be a friend to you. He wants to be there for you. But can I tell you this? There's going to be times, no disrespect, that he can't be there. But can I tell you, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? That God can be there at all times. It doesn't matter if it's 2:30 in the morning or 2:30 in the afternoon. God is always there. Then the thing is the lordship with God. God was not just his father and his friend, but he was his focus. Job's focus was on God. You see, he allowed the Lord to have full reign in his life. Listen to me, Christian. Why do we still want to control what God does in our life? So many times what we want to do is we want to be married, I want to have 2.5 kids, and I want to have the white picket fence. And my wife laughs at me every time I say 2.5 kids. So that's the statistic, okay? And we want to have all these things. I want to have a job making this much money, and I want to do this. And then we sign our name to it, and we say, okay, here, God, this is what I want. Instead, why don't we take a blank sheet of paper, sign our name to it, and say, God, you fill out what you want in my life. God, you have full reign. God, you can do whatever you want in my life. I just want to be a servant for thee. I just want to serve you. I just want to, Lord, you're the one in control. You know what's around the corner. I don't. The lordship. Because Job trusted God, we know these things happen. Job had his friends restored back to him. He had his finances restored back to him. He had his farm restored back to him. He had his family restored back to him. You can go on and read through that. But the Bible says in Job 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Why? Because he trusted. He didn't trust God for the finances. He didn't trust God just because of financial blessings and marital blessings and social blessings. He trusted God because who he was, what he's done, and what he's going to do. Let me ask you tonight, church, as we go into this Thanksgiving season, are you thankful for God, what he's done in your life? What if he takes your financial blessings away? You still going to thank him tonight? What if he takes a child away, a loved one? You still going to trust him and praise him tonight? We do trust him and praise him for the good things. But the Bible says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. God has been so good to me. God has blessed me with so many blessings. But I don't trust God. I don't love God because of the blessings. I'm blessed because he's God. If he took it all away, could you say God is good? You're here tonight and you say, Brother Rick, I don't even know for sure that if I was to die today, I don't even know for sure that I could say that I'd go into heaven. I don't know that for sure. I'm not going to come get you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But would you raise your hand? You say, Brother Rick, I don't even know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Anyone like that? Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Hands crossed from anyone? You're here tonight and you say, Brother Rick, I know for sure that I'm saved. There's no doubt. I know for sure that I'm saved. But there's some areas in my life that's just not right with God. I know it. And God knows it. Brother Rick, pray for me. There's some areas in my life. Anyone like that? I see that hand. Anyone else? Hands across the room, yes. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I'll pray for you. Yes, yes, I'll pray for you. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Rick, I know for sure I'm saved, but I've been bitter. There's some things. Maybe I've lost my finances. Maybe I've lost my family. Maybe I've lost my health. And I've been a little bitter at God. Pray for me. I realize tonight I've been bitter. And I need to get right with God tonight. Anyone like that? Anyone? I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone? Would you come as God has spoke to your heart tonight? Would you come? The piano's going to begin to play after I pray, and the altar will be open. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the trials. We thank you for the troubles, but we thank you for the victories. God, I pray for that one that realized they're a little bitter. There's some things that's happened in their life. And God, they realize tonight that was only for their good. And Lord, I pray that they would come to an old-fashioned altar and get those things right tonight. Lord, for those that raise their hand, realizing there's some areas in their life that's just not right. God, I pray that you would do a work in their heart. Lord, for that one that may be nearest hell tonight, Lord, I pray that you would save him before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray that you would be exalted and magnified during this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray.